You know, the in thing to do these days for parents is to have a big to-do when they're having a baby. Have you ever noticed that? It's always a big deal, but in most recent years, maybe the last 10 years, 15 years, it's got even bigger because parents think they need to have a big, special, unique birth announcement, maybe some sort of a picture to say that they're pregnant, something creative, maybe a big gender reveal party, and then they put it all over social media. You guys see what I'm talking about? It's not normal just to have a normal baby now. I found a couple of examples I thought were pretty interesting over this last year or so. Here's one: social distancing fail. Out of quarantine, January 2021. That was how they chose to announce their baby's birth. How about this one here? This is, you know, with the older sibling and you have a younger sibling on the way, you know, maybe you play it this way. Big brother, they say it's a promotion, but all I see is no pay raise and more responsibility. Anyone here have younger siblings and you can relate to that? Yeah. How about this one? I thought this was good to include. Little nugget arriving January 2021. It's our pleasure. I had to throw Chick-fil-A in there because, man, I don't know if that makes you hungry, but I did think about this. Today's Friday, right? So they're closed already tonight. They're closed Saturday for Christmas Day. They're closed Sunday because they're always closed on Sunday. So you're going to have to wait till Monday if you want to get some Chick-fil-A. It's not always cute, though. Sometimes things go wrong. There was a gender reveal party for a child that was on its way. And this happened in the state of Arizona in 2017. The dad-to-be planned to have a special way for everyone to know if it was a boy or a girl, so he set up an explosion to happen that would have either blue smoke for a boy or pink smoke for a girl, and this is what happened. He went out of his way to make sure everyone knew it was a boy. He worked for the government, and the terrible thing that happened was he did this on a hot day, a dry season in Arizona, a windy day, and he set a forest fire that burned 47,000 acres and burned for 2 weeks. And that accident cost him a couple $100,000 that the court ordered him to pay in restitution. That was one expensive baby. But at least he got a boy. It's all about having the pizzazz. It's all about having the swag. It's all about pulling out all the stops. But let me tell you, God was way ahead of the times 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born. God made no mistake to the world that there was a special child who had been born. This is the same God that brought supernatural beings to announce the birth of the Savior to the shepherds. We just read that story. He brought wise men from 800 miles away and moved the stars in the sky so that they would know to come and worship this child. He doesn't need social media because it's still recorded in this book that is the most popular and widely circulated book in all of human history. And it's in here. Jesus came for us and his announcement was made. Throughout the month of December here at Emmanuel Church, we have been going through a series called The Miracles of Christmas, looking at all the miracles that surround the birth of Christ. And tonight we're going to specifically look at how there were angels who were sent to signify who Christ was and to mark his birth, to announce his birth. In fact, 7 times in the story of Christ's birth, there are angels that appear. They appear to various people throughout, and they bring messages from God. Now, before we look at those instances, I want to give a little background about who angels are. First of all, angels are created beings. They're not God. They're not eternal. God made them, and they are incredibly powerful. They are more powerful than us, but they are less powerful than God. Some other things that we know about them is that their job description is to do whatever God asks them to do. It could be any number of things. It could be that they're supposed to bring a message. In fact, the word angel means a messenger. It could be that they're supposed to fight a spiritual battle, that they're supposed to protect or guard someone, that they're supposed to even serve us. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that they're ministering spirits sent to serve those who believe. There could be angels here tonight with us in this room. That's an amazing thought. We also know that angels can have various appearances, and they can look at times like a human being. That happened in Scripture. But for the most part, angels are, they look in a kind of way that if they showed up, if their whole being was revealed to us and we could see them, we would be terrified to death. Angels have a burning, bright glow about them. Angels can have eyes all over themselves. They can have multiple wings. They can have multiple faces like this. Imagine you saw something like that appear to you. It would be the most terrifying experience of your life. And they can speak in a thunderous kind of voice to bring a message from God. Almost every person who meets an angel in the Bible falls down in fear and thinks they're going to die. So as you read the Scripture, the Christmas story, have this in mind. Begin to imagine what it was like for them as they saw an angel. Because when an angel speaks, you know that they represent God, and people listen when they speak. Well, let's take a quick look through some of the instances of angels appearing in the Christmas story. It happens, as I said, seven times. The first time, we're going to look in the book of Matthew first, just an overview here. You can just kind of see these as I put them up on the screen. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. An angel tells Joseph in a dream, appears to him in a dream, and tells him to marry Mary. How do you like that phrase? Hey, you need to marry Mary. And give the child the name Jesus. This was a situation where Joseph did not understand what was happening. All of a sudden, his bride-to-be was pregnant with someone else's baby, and God said, this baby is from me. You need to marry her and raise this child and give him the name Jesus. Later on there in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 2, an angel appears to Joseph again in a dream and tells him to flee to Egypt to save Jesus' life. And this is a situation where Jesus had been born and King Herod wanted to rid the nation of all the babies 2 years and under, the baby boys 2 years and under, so that Christ would be killed. He didn't want another threat of another king being born. And so an angel warns Joseph. Joseph gets a third vision of an angel in a dream and instructs Joseph to take his family back to Israel because the coast was clear. Herod was gone. So in the book of Matthew, it happens three times to Joseph himself. In the book of Luke, we see the next appearance. It's the angel Gabriel speaking to Zechariah, who was a priest who was on duty in the temple, to inform him of that he was going to have a son named John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's job would be to point the way to Jesus, to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. By the way, Zechariah was an older guy, he and his wife, they were past childbearing age, as Scripture says, and they had never had a child in all those years, and this is a miracle. The angel tells him that they're going to have a baby. Another miracle baby is announced by an angel, and angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her, you're going to have a child. Mary, who's young, Mary, who's a virgin, is going to have this baby, and God himself is going to put the child in her womb. That's the fifth appearance of an angel. Then you have the shepherds. The next chapter, Luke chapter 2. One single angel comes and appears to the shepherds. Imagine in a dark night as they're out there in the field, the open sky. Maybe all they can see is stars. And then an angel appears over them with this glory and this glow, telling them that a child has been born. Christ the Lord has been born in Bethlehem, and that they should go worship him. But while he's speaking, then a whole company of angels comes and appears in the sky. God rips open the curtains of heaven and shows them what it's like to have the continuous praise in heaven of praise of God there with hundreds and thousands of angels that praise God all the time. And the shepherds get to see these angels. It's an amazing thought. Scared them half to death. They thought they were going to die. And God brings this message to them. That's an incredible amount of supernatural activity happening all at once, isn't it? all compact into a very short amount of time, seven appearances of angels here. Now, let me remind you, there had been 400 years since the last prophet had given a message from God, since the last angel had given a message from God. There was this period of silence that had been happening, and all of a sudden, this. God was outdoing himself to say, this child is important. This child is the one who you need to pay attention to. Now, I find it ironic that this happens where angels are coming to bring the message to people who are living in obscurity for the most part. You think about Zechariah, he was just one of thousands of priests. Why him and his wife? You have Mary and Joseph who were blue-collar workers, kinds of parents, and living, first of all, in Nazareth, which is out in the middle of nowhere, and then moving to Bethlehem, which is just a rural kind of a town. Then you have the shepherds who were kind of the low end of society, smelly, out in the fields, probably hadn't had a shower in a while, and the birth announcement comes to them. Not to the priests and the kings and the royalty. It comes to average people like us. It's an amazing thought. I also find it interesting that the glimpse they get of the glory of God is through angels and not through Christ himself. Christ himself came in a way that was also obscure. The king of all of the earth comes in the form of a child who's born again into obscurity, who is raised in a way that nobody would think, oh, he's something special. In fact, the angels who were announcing his birth, if they could see Jesus in his full glory in heaven, those same angels wouldn't even be able to look at him. They'd have to cover their faces. They'd be crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But Christ veiled that glory when he came on earth. That is the picture of Christ as he came. The angels were announcing the king who they knew in heaven had all of that glory, and here he had come on earth. They're all pointing to Jesus. Everything they did was pointing to Jesus. Hey, if you didn't know, Jesus is the one to be focusing on. Think about it with me as I just told you those seven instances of these angels. You go back to the first one, you had Joseph. Joseph was told to marry Mary because there was going to be a child named who? Joseph was told to flee to Egypt to protect who? Joseph was told it was okay to come back to Israel so that he could raise who? Zechariah was told he would have a son who would be born, who would point the way to who? Mary was told she would have a child who would be born to her, and his name would be? Bring it, Maddie. The shepherds were out in the fields, and an angel announced to them that they should go into Bethlehem to see who? And the whole company of angels in the sky sung about the glory of God because they knew the glory of who? It's all about Jesus. The angels were sent to highlight this king, Jesus, who had come. He's the centerpiece of what God was up to, and the whole plan of salvation was resting on the shoulders of this child who had been born. And God was making it unmistakable in this birth announcement who Christ was. I'd like us to focus here just for these last moments here on the scripture from Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible with you, you can open that. It's a little bit dark in here. I'll have it on the screens as well. The scripture here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, tells the story. We read it earlier, but I want to highlight a couple of key things in here as we go through it. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is the message that came directly from the throne of God, carried by the angel and spoken to the shepherds. And the very first thing that they say is, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The one primary thing they need to know right from the beginning is that Jesus is good news. I bring you good news of great joy. When you think of Jesus, the scripture wants us and tells us to remember that he is good. At his very core of who he is good. And the fact that he came to earth is good news. And that's important to point out because not everyone sees it that way. There are many people who mistake Jesus for some kind of a judgmental God who's unloving and uncaring, that he wouldn't care about what's going on in your life. Or maybe that when he sees what you're up to and that you've done bad things, all he wants to do is zap you with lightning. A lot of people think that. Others have had a bad experience with a Christian, a Christ follower, and they say, well, if they live like that, I cannot believe what they preach. And so they layer what they think of Jesus onto what they see other people doing. Or maybe they've been hurt in a church situation where a church did not represent Christ well. But what you need to know is from the scripture is don't look at all those other people, all those other situations. Look at Christ. He is good news. The fact that he came to us is good news. That is great joy for us. Why? Well, the shepherd or the angel went on to say this, that Jesus is a savior. Verse 11, he said, today in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Again, another primary identity about Christ is that he's a savior. That he has come to rescue, he's come to save, he's come to heal, he's come to forgive, he's come to restore. I don't know about you, but that's really good news to me. In our room here, it would not be a stretch to say that every person in this room has experienced struggle, has experienced pain, has experienced the brokenness in your own life and the brokenness in the world around you, and you wonder, is there something more? Is there any hope for us? Well, the message at Christmas is this. There is a Savior who has been sent for us, and his name is Christ the Lord. In fact, you know the name Jesus actually means Savior. The Bible tells us that all of the pain, all of the brokenness that has entered the world as a result of the root of one thing, and that is sin. That thousands of years ago, Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, and in that time, everything was shattered that God had made that was good. And we are now walking in the wreckage of that in our own lives, and we are perpetuating it ourselves because we ourselves are sinners as well. But Jesus is a Savior. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, with the tornadoes that happened in Kentucky, there was a story that came out of one family who was directly in the path of the tornado. They were in their house that night. They got the warnings. The sirens were going off, and the tornado was coming directly toward them. They didn't have a basement to hide in. But thankfully, they had the foresight several years ago to build an underground shelter dug into the ground. It looks like this. They had nowhere else to go, and so they got into the shelter. They got 9 people and 2 dogs into that. And the tornado was so furious that when it came, it was threatening to rip the lid off of that. They had to hold on to the lid from the inside because it was rattling so badly. And the tornado passed overhead, and they came out afterwards, and their entire house was gone, leveled. They would have all been killed. But they went to the only place that they knew to go, the only place of shelter, the only place of safety. This underground shelter saved their lives. And Jesus is much the same for us. He's the one who we run to. He's the one we go to for safety, for hope, for shelter, for forgiveness, for peace. Jesus is our Savior, born for us. You know, this last month, I have been reflecting on how Christ is a Savior for us. I've talked with lots of different people as I've been visiting, calling, just connecting with folks in our church throughout the month of December, and it has been an interesting month. A lot has been going on. But I've been reminded that Jesus is our only place that we can run to. I sat with a family who just recently lost a loved one, and the pain and the struggle of that was real, the grief. And yet this family could testify to say, we're grieving, but we know where she is. We know that she's with the Lord because she had given her life to Christ and she had put all of her trust in Christ as her Savior. She had eternal life, which means that now she is with the Lord forever and we're gonna see her again one day. We grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope because we have a Savior. I spent many hours talking to people in our church this last month who have had COVID. At one point, we had four different people in our church in the hospital due to COVID, and a whole lot of family members that had COVID, some of them who had it in a very severe kind of way. And it was incredible to hear their testimony over and over again to say, as I'm going through this, I know that God is with me. I know that I'm not walking this path alone. Thank you for praying for me because I sense that Jesus is with me. And he took away the fear of death. And I'm happy to report that every person who had COVID over this last month, God has healed each one of them. Some of whom are here tonight with us again. Praise the Lord. He doesn't always heal us in every circumstance. We're going to have struggle. We're going to have pain. We don't live on forever in this world. But we have a Savior who is with us and meets us in our darkest valleys. Another situation, I was talking to someone who was reflecting back through their life and some of the most painful experiences they've had, some of the things that they've done that they're most ashamed of. It was just kind of a way to work through those things and gain more freedom from those things. And as this person was sharing those things, they experienced again the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, knowing that those things won't be held against them forever. In fact, they're now completely forgiven at the cross. You can have a soul that is cleansed from all your sin. Your conscience can be clear. And you can live in a way with knowing the love of God in your life. What an incredible experience that is. For those of you who know Jesus as your Savior, you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced his grace in your life. You've experienced the love of God in your life. And you think, me, I don't deserve this. Me, with all of my chaos and all of that I bring to the table, there's nothing I can give to Jesus. And yet he cares about me. You know what an amazing thought it is to have a Savior like that. So it's no surprise that he made a big deal of the birth of Jesus. He gave the ultimate birth announcement. I'd like to read how the shepherds got to see even more. Not just the one angel, they got to see the whole hundreds or thousands of angels that appeared to them in the sky. How overwhelming it would have been to see that. It says then in verses 12 and 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Their first message was of praise to God because they can't help but do that because God is so awesome and so amazing. But their second message was to people like us, peace to those on whom his favor rests. He has favor on people like us. God brings peace to people like us. Do you need peace? Do you need to be made right again, made whole again? Do you need a shelter to run to? Jesus is that for us. So if you've received Jesus as your Savior, remember that at Christmas time, Jesus is good news for you. He's a Savior for you. He brings peace into your life and the favor of God into your life. Treasure that, ponder that, that tonight here we are on Christmas Eve, remembering that Christ came to our world. He stepped into our lives and he brought this to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the good news of Christmas. God sent a whole army of his most powerful creations, his angels, to scare the shepherds half to death so that we could get a glimpse of how incredible this Savior is. But if you don't know him personally tonight, maybe you're sitting there thinking, I don't recall a time that I've ever run to Jesus as my Savior. You don't recall a time that you have called out to him and said, I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me. I need you to heal me. I need you to forgive me. And I want to tell you that tonight you can have that by crying out to Jesus. He can hear the cries of your heart even right now as you're sitting there. You don't have to even put it into audible words because he's God. He knows everything. The greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive is Jesus as your Savior. I want to close with a time of prayer. A time for prayer for anyone who has not yet received Jesus as Savior, that you can cry out to him. I'll give you words. You can pray to him to ask him to be your Savior. I want to give also a chance to pray for all of us that we could thank God for this incredible gift he's given to us, that Christ would come for us. So would you bow your heads together with me? If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, may tonight be the night that you know in the heart of hearts, in your heart of hearts, that God would show you right now that Jesus is good news for you and you need this good news. That he's a Savior, that he wants to bring peace. And so if you sense that and say, I want to ask for that, then in your heart, you can pray along with me. Oh Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. I need you to come into my life and cleanse my conscience. Forgive my sin. Make me right again with you. Put my feet on a firm foundation and be my Savior. Will you walk with me through the rest of this life? And would you give me eternal life after I die, that I could know that I'd be with you forever? I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. As you're talking to him, crying out to him, I just want to affirm that if you have done that and you sense God there working in your heart, he has come to you. He's no longer just a story that you read about. He's the living and breathing God who's there with you, and he now has taken up residence inside of you. And he will walk with you through everything. I encourage you to tell someone about that. I encourage you to continue to grow in him. In fact, if you prayed that prayer still with everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, I'd encourage you just even to raise your hand as a statement of, yes, I received Christ tonight as my Savior. As an act of faith, I did this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you will work in each one of these hearts. Confirm that they are now a child of God, loved, and that they have you living inside of them. Lord, for all of us, I would like to say thank you for coming for us. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being the place that we can run to, our only hope. I pray, Lord, on this night, you would fill our hearts with peace, knowing that the favor of God is with us, that you have come as our Savior. We thank you, we celebrate you, we worship you. In the powerful and mighty name of Jesus, amen.